Stand, please, as we ask Brother Clayton Langseth to give the prayer on Brother Gaddy's service.
Our all-wise Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy holy and righteous name. With thankful hearts, Father, we bow before thee this morning to give thee thanks and praise for the many blessings that thou hast provided for us. We do pray, Father, for thy kingdom to come. As we pray for all thy dear ones this morning, wherever they are in this troubled world, and whatever their trials or circumstances may be, we ask now that thou open our hearts and our minds that we may learn more from thy one who will serve us, direct his thoughts, his words. We pray for those who are less fortunate than we are this morning. We ask these favors as we pray for forgiveness of our shortcomings and give thee all of our thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Clayton. And Brother Gaddy has chosen for his subject the Holy Spirit. Brother Gaddy.
Thank you, Brother Cooper. Good morning, dear brethren. It's nice to be here in your midst. We've heard so much about the Boise Convention that we've looked forward to this convention with great anticipation. And we bring, of course, the love and greetings, the Christian love and greetings from your brethren at Phoenix. They especially wanted to send their love to you. And I mentioned the New Year's Convention, which is our annual convention, which will be over a weekend. We'll begin like the convention here began on a Friday evening. And then it'll be Saturday, Sunday, and Monday of that holiday weekend. Appreciate the fellowship of the brethren here and the hospitality of Brother Elton and Sister Nettie in their home there. The fellowship we've had with them, we appreciate it very much. We hope to see many of you at that New Year's convention. So many of the brethren are in parts of the country that are not so pleasant, maybe a little bit cold. But usually in Phoenix, they have not quite such cold weather. We have seen a little bit cold there once or twice, but usually it's pretty nice. As Brother Cooper had stated, our subject this morning would be the Holy Spirit. And when we think of the Holy Spirit, we think of God Almighty, of being a part of Him. That is one of His powers that He has control of. And He is able to use that Holy Spirit in any manner than which He wants to accomplish a particular purpose. And as we know, even at the beginning, back in Genesis, where it says the Spirit moved upon the waters, the Spirit of God to accomplish a beginning of the creation of the earth for the habitation of a human family, a perfect family. We see the beginning of the grand design of this grand architect here laying the foundation for His purpose in a creation that is to be forever. He created an earth for the habitation of man, a perfect environment. We only have to look at the astronauts and the outer space to know that man cannot live there in that kind of an environment because it is not suitable for man. The climate is perfect here upon this earth for mankind. These are only preliminary steps of the grand architect that designed the plan of the ages for His human family. In 2 Peter, the first chapter in verse 21, the thought is here of a further accomplishment of God's design. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We think of the word Holy Spirit. What does that mean? The word holy, of course, comes from a Strong's Concordance. It means sacred, blameless, religious, and holy. It's a part of God's character. It's a part of His will that He is able to give to whomever He wishes. It's a part of Him that He can do anything with. The second part of that is sacred. Comes from the word sacred. Holy Spirit is sacred. It's blameless. The second part of that is spirit. And we're all familiar with that word, pneuma, which means like a current of air. You can't see it. It's from God. There's a power there. You and I only have to realize the power of this secretness of God by the wind that is represented here, current of air. How we have seen, perhaps we have not been in a hurricane or a tornado, but the force that is there, we can see the destruction of what those winds do. We can see a gentle breeze against a tree and the leaves of that tree and how it swayed. We can't see the air, but we can see the evidence of it. And we can certainly see the evidence of God's great power in this universe. Though it is unseen by those who perhaps do not recognize it, but He has revealed to us by His Spirit His innermost thoughts, And so therefore, we have the Holy Spirit of God, those who have given themselves in full consecration to the will of God. The first scripture that is used recognizing the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is in that of very appropriate, that of our Lord's birth, referred to in Matthew 1:18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit." And here we see an evidence of the first embryo transplant. We recall how our Lord was transferred from the right hand of God as his Logos to the man Christ Jesus, who was to be born of a virgin, an embryo planted within her. And this was the first embryo transplant. Of recent years, we have evidence of the science here, transferring different lives by different means, by embryo. God, so many years ago, did this with our Lord Jesus. This 20th verse of this same chapter, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." God in his own way, by his own power, was able to transfer that, make that transfer from the spiritual realm to that of the earthly. So we see quite early in the New Testament scriptures how important and the usage of that Holy Spirit is and was in the design of God, because this is his force. And by that same force, he touched each of your hearts, each of our hearts, to come into a relationship with him by a knowledge and an understanding of him and of his Son and his grand designs for the human family, for all mankind. That first evidence of the churches receiving that Holy Spirit was at Pentecost, when they were there at appointed time, appointed day, appointed hour. God, through our Lord Jesus, gave those that were present of the Holy Spirit. It says that they spake in other languages. The scriptures say tongues, but we know that's different languages that those people, the brethren there in the early church, has a very dynamic way in revealing not only to them, but to the people that were about them, that they had received the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine instantaneously be able to speak Spanish or Greek or whatever language is so dynamic a way in which God performed this for those people in that presence? These are just examples of some of the power that God can exercise to accomplish a purpose. Not anyone's purpose, but his own purpose. And by the same means, he has given us of his Spirit, that we might know the innermost workings of God. Let us begin reading in Acts, the second chapter, the account there, in the fourth verse, where it says, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And this is the day of Pentecost. "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to the other, 'Behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own languages when we were born?'" Those, all those nations, as it enumerates those in the following verses there, 9 and 10, gathered about, and they spake to these people in their own language. It was necessary to inaugurate this great thing by a new dispensation, by the giving of His Son to be born through the Holy Spirit, through that power, through the inauguration of this power being manifested in an individual in a very drastic and dynamic way. And to think that that same Holy Spirit that was used to accomplish those things, says God gave of His Spirit unto us. And it is for a very special purpose. And that is to accomplish a purpose in us, to transfer the mind of a normal person here, perhaps a degraded person, as, but to call that one and to give them of His Spirit, and to begin the inner workings of the new creature mind to the development that it can be born on a spiritual plane. And this is the purpose of God for us. And it's up to us to cooperate to the best of our ability with that Spirit, because it says that it would lead us into all truths. This receiving of the Holy Spirit is a witness to each of us. As we recall back in our earlier years, perhaps before we made a consecration, did we know God had a plan? Perhaps we, some of us, many of us, have been raised in the truth, grew up. But even at that growing up in the truth, there became a point in which there was a turn about in a recognition of God's dealing with you. A drawing power. And this Spirit of God, once that individual, or we as individuals, made a consecration to God, we were given that Holy Spirit to understand the deep things of God. Almost as drastic as that, where those brethren were there at the day of Pentecost, they could speak in another language. Many of you recall that time. When you look at the scripture that once was dark to you, but now it became open. God revealing Himself to you. This was His power and influence within you. A beginning or begettal of a new creature mind. To accomplish a purpose. His purpose as a member of the body of Christ. In Romans, the 6th chapter, and verse 4, these are words that we hear on baptism, a baptismal talk. And it talks about being baptized into Christ. The 4th verse says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What a transformation this Holy Spirit would make within our lives. And you and I are evidence of that transformation. We think perhaps that we're not making many strides, but it's the will within that new creature mind to destroy the old man's actions, to endeavor to walk in that newness of life, not after the old fallen nature. And each of us can see within our lives that transformation taking place. To do the will of God, not to do my will, but the will of God. In that Romans 5:5, says the hope which maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. What great love was manifested in us that he should share that great power of his influence within us to accomplish his purpose as a body member of the anointed. Be Christ. To be like the Lord Jesus. We know that we can't accomplish that in perfection, but that is our goal. To strive, to walk as he walked, to walk in his footsteps, to endeavor to even love our enemies. What a challenge to be called to this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But the evidence of that Spirit tells us this is the mark. We look at our Lord Jesus as that perfect example. And that is the example that you and I are to look at, not at each other, not at our faults and failings, because if we will fail. We can never overcome these if we were to live 1,000 years, because we realize we're still cut off of Adamic stock. We're imperfect. We could not accomplish that. But the inward man, the new creature mind, is developed by God through his Spirit to accomplish the desire in our hearts for that perfection that he is looking for. Only perhaps our will to do that. And so as we reminisce about our earlier days in the Begetto, this Holy Spirit is accomplishing God's purpose in us. He will not leave us. He will not withdraw that Holy Spirit. He has given us that Holy Spirit for that purpose. The experiences of life are very severe sometimes. But when we think of the experiences that we have, just think of the experiences that our pattern had, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The ignominy the severity of scourging, the severity of his death, the severity of the cross, the severity of the opposition, the severity of being accused, and yet he was homely, holy, holy, like our God, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Should we be discouraged? As long as we feel the presence of God with us, like in this very particular place, in convention, we very assuredly feel the presence of God with us, instructing us through our brethren, through our fellowship together, through the examples we see in our brethren, the desire that is there for that Holy Spirit to accomplish within them and within us God's purpose. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, and verses 7 through 13. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Yes, we can talk of the mystery of God. Truly, a mystery is a something that is a sacred secret. It's something that isn't commonly known, isn't it? Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The master architect saw this need because he saw that perhaps Adam would fail. An expansion of the earth and the whole earth in his mind would be a paradise. That was a beautiful thought. But he also made reservations for the frailty and the failure of Adam. In that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, saith the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. That's all behind. He's begotten us to a new nature. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. This is his Spirit. And he has given it to us for a purpose. And that purpose, as we have outlined before, even in the beginning of the creation of the earth, his Spirit is going to accomplish a purpose. It's up to us to cooperate with him and to yield ourselves to that purpose that God has for us. The 13th verse, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And this is what we've been doing here. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. all we might think, you know, in comparison, how can we live longer? That's natural for man to want to live here on the earth. Natural man wants to live here upon this earth and if they had their way, they'd like it in a paradise, wouldn't they, as in the beginning. And this is really what they're going to get, isn't it? In the ultimate view of God, the outline of God, they're going to see this and know it because God has purposed that. No one is going to alter that plan. Whether we yield ourselves to this Spirit that has begotten us to a new nature, to the high calling of God, there will be others who God would use if we do not fulfill that. But God forbid us to even give that a thought. To run with patience this race, this life course that is set before us. That our hearts might be set upon things above. God hath revealed these secret things, these special spiritual things to us by His Spirit, that we might be Godlike. For we are the sons of God. This 8th chapter of Romans, verses 14 through 17, says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." The whole world, of course, lies in the wicked one. They have the fear of what tomorrow is coming. Have the fear of the unknown. But God has revealed us unto us the unknown, the grand and glorious tomorrow of the resurrection, of the perfection of the earth that will be brought about. And certainly we can see the degradation that is in the earth today, the pollution. All of these things are going to have to be cleared up for a perfect world, a perfect environment, for His perfect humanity to live here in a paradise forever. God has allowed a year, 1,000 years, to accomplish a purpose. And by His Spirit, we don't know just the minute details of how this is going to be accomplished, but by His Spirit, He will cleanse this earth again. It won't be done by a snap of the finger, but it will be accomplished in His own due time and be made perfect for the habitation of man, which was His original design, that grand architect, our Heavenly Father, for the human family. The 15th verse reads, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again into fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption," our sonship. Adoption, sonship. "Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the sons of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him." There's an if there. "If be so we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." But God's Spirit bears witness with our spirit, because He has Let us see the innermost thoughts of God, His purpose, how humble this should make us to realize that God Almighty, this grand one who is able to accomplish anything that He wishes, has touched us as lowly human beings, individuals, to be God-like, to be Christ-like. The invitation to work out within us through His Spirit that for which He is looking for, the greatness and the grandeur of the divine nature of a spirit being. These are thoughts that stagger the natural man's thoughts, is that the natural man cannot understand these things. And certainly if you and I had not been begotten of the Holy Spirit, we could not understand them. We would have no desire to cooperate with the killing of the flesh, destroying of the flesh. But God is working within each of you the peaceable fruits of righteousness that He is looking for as a new creature in Christ Jesus. And this great power will accomplish, it will accomplish its purpose. That He sent His word forth, and it will not return unto Him void, but it will accomplish that wherein it is sent. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 10 through 14, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ. In His own due time, He has perfect control, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. He has designed that through our Lord Jesus, that all things, Thy will be done in heaven. Thy will be done in earth. His will be accomplished. In the fullness of time, together all things together in Christ Jesus. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. God Almighty purposed it by His own will, predestined a church group, those to be body members of Christ, the Anointed, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. What an opportunity. What an invitation has been ours. What an encouragement these words are to us, to know that that Holy Spirit of God, that power of God, is working within you to accomplish that purpose, that we may gain that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In whom ye also trusted, that after that ye had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After we came into a knowledge of the truth, after we made a consecration, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of God, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That work, that Holy Spirit, is in our possession. God has given it to us to give, to accomplish that purpose. Second Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 20 through 22, says, all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen, and to the glory of God by us. Now we which, He which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. God hath done this to work out within us a far greater work than He has ever tried before. A new creation. A grand design of God. The grand architect has given us of His Spirit to cooperate with Him. To let us know within our inward most heart whether we are doing right or whether we're doing wrong. A consciousness toward God, toward each other. Sealed us with that Holy Spirit promise. How astounding. John the 16th chapter, verse 13, says, howbeit, these are our Lord's words, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Well, we realize that many of the Trinitarians take this to be a part of the Trinity, referred to as He, as the third part of the Trinity, having no neuter gender, had to use one of the genders, so they used He. And it could have been it, as you and I would refer to that. The third part of the Trinity, of course, is their concern. But that doesn't bother us because we understand that this He is the power and influence of God. And He uses this, as we said before, to accomplish a purpose. It's not a part of that Trinity, is it? But as a part of the power of God and influence to accomplish a great purpose. Under present conditions, men naturally look for something to exhilarate them. We see in our society today those who need a different spirit. They're down, so to speak, and what do? They take drugs or alcohol to give them a different spirit. Put them out of this world, so to speak. But you and I have been given a Spirit of God. It's not of this world either, is it? But it's a direct power, an influence within our lives to stimulate us, to exhilarate us to study and to meditate upon the spiritual things, to do that which God would have us do, whether it be the proclamation of the truth or helping with others to promulgate the truth or to work out within ourselves as we see, which is the greater work, to conform him ourselves into that image of Christ. This great Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, will accomplish its work. We only need to cooperate with that and be mindful and have this the uppermost in our minds. His purpose for us individually. We cannot take on the weight of the world individually. We must feel the responsibility individually of our relationship with God. He wants us to feel that responsibility. First John, the 5th chapter, and the 6th verse, says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, that is, the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Our Lord came here to do the will of God. He was that lamb slain in the mind of God from the foundation of the world. You and I are a part of that anointed that God had in his mind from the foundation of the world. Because God could see that Adam would fail. But he had another plan. A part of that first plan failed. He was going to give the opportunity. But if it didn't work out, he had a backup, so to speak. He knew that God knew that Adam would fail, and so he did. He had that backup, didn't he? How wise is this God of ours? It's beyond our comprehension at the present time. Even though we can see some of the innermost workings of the mystery of God, but oh, the depth of God's mind in thinking not only for today, tomorrow, next week, next year, but for eternity, and setting in motion these things so many long years ago. The astounding thought of God in his orderly arrangements to accomplish a purpose, and by his Holy Spirit that he will accomplish the development and completion of his church here at this time in this gospel age. And so let us think upon these things. Let us keep in mind that God individually called you, wants you to make your calling and election sure. And if we are faithful unto death, he will give us that crown of life. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Gaddy, for bringing out those beautiful thoughts on how our Holy Father used His Holy Spirit in accomplishing many of His works and to perform His will. There will be an intermission for fellowship after Brother Gaddy's prayer, and the next session will begin at 11:15 for a discourse by Brother Michael Nakora. Brother Gaddy has chosen hymn number 89 for closing.
Loving eternal Heavenly Father, Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, Thou who art our God, in the name and in the merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we approach into Thy hallowed presence to thank You, dear Father, for the many bountiful blessings that You have bestowed upon us. We're thankful for the calling of us out of the darkness of the world into Thy marvelous light of truth. Thankful for all things, dear Father. We're thankful for this convention. We're thankful for each one present here. We're thankful for this ecclesia who made this convention possible. And I ask Thy continued blessing to rest with this group. Ask Thy blessing upon each of our hearts and minds as we have considered Thy word this morning. And ask a special blessing on the consideration of those words to be deeply embedded within our hearts and minds. Continue with us. Guide and direct us by Thy Spirit, we pray, as we pray for more of Thy Holy Spirit. Pray for our brethren throughout the land. We're mindful of those that would like to have been here but could not, and ask the special blessing of comfort and counsel with each one to Thy accomplishments of Your purpose in them. Continue with us now in our fellowship together as we pray for Thy kingdom for all mankind. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.